starched white shed. You will find bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean sheds to play around in.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Bartlett Naylor, the financial policy advocate for Public Citizens Congress Watch Division and the principal of Capital Strategies Consulting, Inc., which works with progressive organizations attempting to reform public policies where corporations play a key role. Formerly, he served as chief of investigations for the U.S. Senate Banking Committee, where he led probes of the savings and loan crisis, corporate takeovers, and insider trading. Welcome to Background Briefing, Bartlett Naylor.
Thank you.
And it's pretty extraordinary to see that in the wake of J.P. Morgan's $2 to $3 billion loss, the House Committee on Agriculture yesterday was about to vote on two bills that would roll back Wall Street reform on speculative derivative bets. I take it mostly to do with commodities. What happened? Finally, they got shamed into canceling it?
Yes, I think that's pretty clear. The chairman of the committee, Frank Lucas, put out a statement saying that J.P. Morgan has nothing to do with it in canceling this vote. At the same time, he said that Congress needs to look into make sure there are no, in his words, unintended consequences. And so I think what's clear is that very much J.P. Morgan led to at least some small and I hope not fleeting humility by these lawmakers to emasculate Dodd-Frank.
And in terms of these being House committees on agriculture, now I take it that these relate to derivatives in commodity trading.
Yes, we shouldn't be confused by nomenclature here. It's a quirk of jurisdiction between committees that the House Agriculture Committee has oversight of the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. And it's safe to say that until the 1970s or 1980s, that did have to do with wheat futures and cattle futures. But Wall Street has decided to go through that particular area of trading to create a whole blizzard of financial-related derivatives. Derivative is a multisyllabic word that means bet. And that's where a lot of the shenanigans that took place that led to the financial crash of 2008 took place. And so it is the Agriculture Committee. You know, members of Congress who are really concerned about farming are nevertheless the stewards of shaping policy about these complex derivatives, half of which are traded in London.
So if Agriculture Committee has oversight over the CFTC, and the CFTC now is completely being emasculated by pressure from Wall Street, the president even had to get Eric Holder on the White House lawn the other day to talk about the need to maybe put somebody in jail for running up the price of gasoline up to 40%. The rest of the country is getting a little bit of relief. California is not in terms of gas prices. But this is all of, in other words, derivatives trading in agriculture commodities and gaming the price of gasoline. It's all now under the jurisdiction of this House Agriculture Committee that, in the face of all that's been happening, want to deregulate the rules further?
Yes. Well, it's Wall Street that wants to deregulate the rules, and then they make campaign contributions to the members of the House and the House Agriculture Committee, and then they follow the money and are putting forward these bills. Three swap deregulation bills have already cleared the entire House, and there's about five in the pipeline. Some have already cleared the Agriculture Committee and await full floor action. The two others that were going to be voted on this Thursday. One of them, Alice in Wonderland style, was called the Swap Bailout Prevention Act, but it actually explicitly allows for a bailout of swaps. Again, swaps is the same word as derivatives. These are these commodity, in this case, synthetic financial swaps. The other bill would have said if you do the swap overseas, you are essentially liberated from U.S. oversight. So, first of all, go to London, fail, and then we will bail you out.
Well, there's a pattern of that, isn't there? Isn't that what happened with AIG?
And that's the American way, yes.
And then you had this recent J.P. Morgan Chase disaster happened in London, the so-called London Whale, this Frenchman who made these bad bets. I take it, though, these House members that are deregulating, do they know what they're doing? I mean, most people don't even know what a credit default swap is or a derivative is.
No, they don't. They don't know what they're doing. I'm one of the few people that call around to the members of Congress. I do mostly or almost all the time deal with their staff, and most of the staff really are not sure precisely of the language of their own bills, which are written not by them, but are written by law firms. Sometimes the letterhead of the law firm is still on the memo that is being passed around. And no, it's very cleverly written. Just one example, the bill that exempts or liberates from any U.S. oversight swaps that are taking place in London is maybe 500 words long that has a lot of language about it. It's only for hedging or it's only for this or only for that. Well, there's five words that do all the damage, and that says all swaps overseas are essentially liberated from U.S. oversight. So the other language is almost there to confuse you.
But I find this extraordinary that the U.S. Taxpayer is being put on the hook by conservative lawmakers who are out there screaming about the deficit. I mean, isn't one of the biggest causes of the deficit rescuing and bailing out Wall Street?
Yes, it's not only the cash dollars that taxpayers put into J.P. Morgan, $25 billion, or AIG, $150 billion, but it's also the lost tax revenue. The 8.1% unemployed are not paying taxes. The stimulus money is part of the financial crisis. Yes, I believe that if Americans paid attention to what is happening in Congress, they would be very upset. But as you had mentioned before, these bills are complex. They are misunderstood even by professional staff in Congress, and it is within this complexity that the muggers of Wall Street are hiding.
Again, I'm speaking with Bartlett Naylor, the financial policy advocate for Public Citizens Congress Watch Division and the principal of Capital Strategies Consulting, Inc., which works with progressive organizations attempting to reform public policies where corporations play a key role. Formerly, he served as the chief of investigations for the United States Senate Banking Committee, where he led probes of the savings and loan crisis, corporate takeovers, and insider trading. And we're talking about how the House Committee on Agriculture yesterday canceled a scheduled vote for Thursday on two bills that would roll back Wall Street reforms on speculative derivatives, even though they are saying it has nothing to do with the J.P. Morgan $2 to $3 billion loss. That's I don't know what to say. I mean, that's pretty incredible. What's the role of Senator Corker on the other side, on the Senate Banking Committee? He's already called for hearings into the J.P. Morgan fiasco. He's one of the richest guys in the House and Senate, isn't he?
I think he does have a lot of competition. You know, there's a Rockefeller, and,
sure,
and there are others that have a few dollars in their own bank account. Senator Corker is an interesting person because when you hear him speak, when he's at Senate Banking Committee hearings, he'll often say what I would call the right things that we're concerned. He said that we need to get rid of proprietary trading. But when it comes to votes, he often doesn't, if you will, vote what I would call the right way. We certainly welcome his call for hearings. There'll actually be a hearing next Tuesday already scheduled with the head of the Commodities Futures Trading Commission as well as the Securities and Exchange Commission. And inevitably, the J.P. Morgan issue will be raised, if not actually dominate that hearing. We're working with staff right now about questions that they may wish to consider.
But let's focus in a moment, Bartlett Naylor, on the Commodities Future Trading Commission. I've spoken a few times with Michael Greenberger, who was formerly the head of the Division of Trading and Markets, And he's been one of the people that's been, blowing the whistle on the gaming in oil, which has driven up the price of oil to over $4 a gallon. It also happened back in 2008 in the summer, where oil got up to $147 a barrel. After that, 60 Minutes did an expose where we learned that these Wall Street banks had held more oil than ExxonMobil would ever hold. And they have tankers driving around in circles, and they're just basically trading paper barrels back and forth and running the price up. Sounds like they've been doing that again. What is wrong with the CTFC? Why is the watchdog a complete lapdog for Wall Street?
Well, in defense of the CFTC and its chairman, Gary Gensler, I would say that it is not entirely their fault. First of all, they're vastly underfunded. They run on roughly $200 million a year. The Los Angeles Police Department, I'm sure, is several multiples of that. They are underfunded because Congress won't approve the funding, again, because Wall Street sponsored members of Congress have sought to starve them. And second, on the efforts to propose rules that would curb speculation, Wall Street has sued them. They have a rule out on position limits that would limit the amount of any particular commodity, financial product that any single firm could control. And the Chamber of Commerce took them to court under a technicality having to do with an inadequate cost-benefit analysis. And they took them to a court that has a history of siding with business, with Wall Street. So they have those two strikes against them. They're understaffed, and they've got litigation blocking some of their rules. That said, they could do a better job. We think that they've buckled to Wall Street on too many issues. This does require what is being alleged by Michael Greenberger and other very enlightened and skillful, knowledgeable people is essentially market manipulation, and there needs to be a vigorous Justice Department investigation. And while we applaud the President, Eric Holder, for announcing one, and it's possible that simply that announcement has led to a dip, if you will, in gas prices, we're skeptical that they are vigorous. We think we should see some indictments soon.
Well, Bartlett Naylor, there have not been any indictments for what happened on Wall Street in 2008. And it felt to me that one of the reasons why the president had Eric Holder with him was to put him on camera with him, almost to put him on the spot. What's going on, or what's not going on at Justice? I don't understand it. I mean, yeah. 60 Minutes did a whole piece with the guy, is it Lenny Hall, what's his name, the guy from the Clinton White House that's in charge of this division that's looking into Wall Street? And they asked them, how come you guys haven't come up with one prosecution? And they had a woman there who was an insider in the biggest ripoff operation out here in California that Bank of America bought.
Countrywide.
Countrywide. Countrywide. And she had all the inside scoop, and the Justice Department weren't interested in talking to her. So do you have any idea why this torpor?
I have no, if you will, inside information, inside insight. It's regrettable. One thing that is missing that was present during the savings and loan crisis is literally a mechanism, a training mechanism, whereby prudential bank examiners are told what kind of evidence does it take that can be handed over to the Justice Department to bring a criminal investigation. A prudential regulator, that's somebody from the FDIC or the Federal Reserve, is going in to look generally for signs that the firm might be failing, that its loans might be going bad, that its capital might be inadequate, but they're not necessarily looking for fraud. And they need to be trained to look for the things that a prosecutor at the Justice Department can take into a court, to a grand jury and get an indictment, and to a jury and a judge to win a prosecution. That was present in the late 1980s, and it's missing today.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Bartlett Naylor.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Bartlett Naylor, who is the financial policy advocate for Public Citizens Congress Watch Division and the principal of Capital Strategies Consulting, Inc., which works with progressive organizations attempting to reform public policies where corporations play a key role. Formerly, he served as the chief of investigations for the U.S. Senate Banking Committee, where he led probes of the savings and loan crisis, corporate takeovers, and insider trading. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Christina Trutanich. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.
Time.